As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. Show me your facts. Show me your evidence and show me the law. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's still a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? Welcome to our Tuesday, April the 20th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts, always news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each and every day, though today we're going to be light on the news. Spent a lot of time on the news yesterday, basically the same news with a new garment today. But if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism. That's going to be the talk for today, a little bit more of this philosophically radical thought, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. It'll be a part of today's broadcast. You can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. You may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join me live on air and from around America and around the world. You can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. That's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Mo. Big Mo to me, 65647. Again, that's Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Big shout out, as we love to do, to all of our micro broadcasters out there picking up the broadcast and rebroadcasting it to their local listening audiences. Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, and AM 1710 Liberty Radio, Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. And all those that don't let me know that they're doing it, you're certainly welcome to continue, and I appreciate it. But anyway, thank you for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Our call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. Those contact data and all kinds of other stuff, including our show archives page, are available on the oraclebroadcasting.com homepage. Precious metals regain some of the lost ground. Equities, bonds, and currencies trade higher as Goldman Sachs fraud charged by the Securities and Exchange Commission loses its shock value. We'll talk about all of that this morning. The history of law, readings in law, empiricism, enlightenment, and John Locke will go there as well. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go into that market report for Tuesday, April the 20th, 2010. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. But 1 hour ago, gold was trading up $6.80 at $1,142 an ounce. Silver up 18 cents, trades at $17.90. Scratching on the door of 18 again. Looking forward to that. Looking for that $19 silver. Looking for that $20 silver. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Roll the dice. It's all a crap game anyway. Anyway, platinum up $16 this morning at $1,711. Palladium up $6 at $542. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market so far this morning, $1,134.80 for a low and $1,144.90 for a high. So it's a buck and a dime spread there. But at $1,142, your gold is up $257.20 year to year for a 29.07% return on your investment. London Gold Fix this morning, the London Bullion Market Association, they set the price at $1,142.50, and we're right on top of that as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, we'll pick it all up right there on the other side of this first break and be back in hour number one. Stay with us.
Of the the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Take Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at christostrading.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, April the 20th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Let's close out that market report for this morning. Again, we find gold rebounding from its otherwise very low closing yesterday, but it's up $6.80 at $1,142 an ounce. Silver likewise creeping back out of the basement. Runs at $17.90, moving up 18 cents in early trading. Platinum moves up 16 bucks at $1,711, and palladium up 6 at $542. Found a rather interesting article yesterday as I was browsing around the web after the broadcast discussing the potential for platinum and palladium to be used in technology applications where instead of coating things with wires and connectors with gold, which is an exceptional, probably the very best conductor. They're looking at using palladium, so there's some action about buying palladium that way. Silver as well, going into the industry more than into the warehouses of all the people that like to speculate in gold and silver. Anyway, the lows and the highs again in the gold spot market were $1,134.80 for a low, $1,144 for and 90 cents for a high, so about a $10 spread there. And we're going to see that probably continue. I don't know where it's going to go today, whether we'll recover the gain that we wanted to have on Monday, but we'll just have to see. But right now, we're still about $10, $15 below where some of the prognosticators prognosticated that we would be. It's right in the 1,150 to 1,160 level. And we'll probably regain that this week, I'm assuming. But you know what that makes out of me. Anyway, the SPDR gold shares this morning unchanged. So they weren't necessarily involved in these fluctuations. 1,141.04 tons, and they're holding ostensibly $41.67 billion in gold holdings. But as these prices change, remember, when you've got 1,141.04 tons ostensibly in your treasure chest, there's huge dollars and cents deviations here in this billions that they want it expressed as a dollar value. So, you know, it's fluctuating into the many millions of dollars every 24 hours. Lots of opportunity to make money, I guess. I don't know. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up yesterday 73 points at 11,092. It's up higher than that at the moment. Looking over at the other screen here, the NASDAQ off one at closed at 2480 yesterday, and the S&P 500 up five at 1,198. The crude oil this morning, you know, yesterday we talked about the crude oil and the USDX being twins. Both are running right at about 82.40, 82.41. Today the USDX is up 4 basis points at 80.95, and the crude oil is up 95 cents a buck. Over where it closed, I guess. But it's up a buck. Don't like to hear that. You know, it's going to translate into higher costs at the pump, that's for sure. But it's running at $82.40 a barrel. The foreign exchange market today, the Forex, the Canadian loonie, and our little basket of North American Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement basket of currencies, the Canadian loonie, the Canadian dollar, moves up 88 basis points, but doesn't hit the parity mark again. It's still shy of that and trades at 99 cents U.S. The Mexican peso still on the bright side of 8 cents, but it moves up 14 basis points, trades at 8 cents, 12.2204 pesos per dollar. The euro off 11 basis points, trades at $1.35. British pound is up 16 at $1.54 a British pound. And the Swiss franc loses 6 basis points, trades at 94 cents U.S. So that's your foreign exchange rates. The bond market this morning, the 2-year bond jumps back over the 1% level, the yield on the 2-year bond. The 10-year is at 381, the 30 runs at 468, and in the mortgage market, the fixed mortgages continue the upward trend. 15-year mortgages, fixed rate mortgages are moving up from 4.37 a month ago to 4.41 this morning, and the 30-year moves up from 5.02 to 5.14. So if you're in the market for mortgages, they're going up. With all of that said, you know, again, I'm not going to spend too much time on the news today, just some of the highlights off the Bloomberg website. The top story that they have there this morning is Goldman says it didn't mislead its investors, and yet at the same time, even though it's facing this fraud, some of the shock value is already wearing off, but there are still ripples going around the world. There's not going to be any doubt about that. But they're looking at a first quarter net income almost doubled this year, but they say that they didn't mislead their investors. So Goldman Sachs is definitely prospering in the face of everybody else's decline. So that's just to be understood. There was a little bit of squabbling over in England as to whether or not Goldman would continue to do business with the UK, but they seem to be paving that one over. So I would imagine that JP Morgan, Chase, and Goldman Sachs will continue just as if nothing had ever happened. And that's to be understood. You know, John Locke is a really interesting study, and I've been enjoying it. I hope you have too. Certainly finding out more about his ideas on the true end of civil government, his second treatise. We've been going through this quite a bit. But in the process, over the evening last night, I went in and I started digging out a bunch of material, because I do have quite a bit on John Locke that I've read in the past, but I never did make the connection with this treatise. And the treatise, let me get the right name here, The True End of Government. No, that's not what we want to call it. Let's see if I can say it properly. It's rather lengthy. It was typical. That's the way they used to do this sort of stuff. It's an essay concerning the true original extent and end of civil government. John Locke, back in the 1600s. That's probably, you know, it is possible, folks, that it's his best work. But the philosophy that I was exposed to back in college and back in the 1970s, early, is so vapid that it turned me off. I went in and looked out to a couple of my political science books, textbooks, and there's no mention of John Locke. So I don't know whether these excerpts that I got when I studied philosophy in college, this is the Melvin Rader, The Enduring Questions, The Main Problems of Philosophy, second edition, the textbook for one of the philosophy courses that I took, has a bunch of excerpts in here. But again, as I say, they're really vapid. If you're looking for anything deep and real weighty, you're not going to find it in John Locke's philosophy. But it was unique. It was original. And having gone back now and started to reread some of this material, we can see that there was a change coming. We're moving into the time of the Enlightenment here, but also empiricism. So I'm just going to give you a little bit here out of the beginning of another one of his essays, an essay concerning human understanding. This is the introduction that was written by Melvin Rader for this particular section. This is chapter 10 out of, again, The Enduring Questions, Main Problems of Philosophy, published in 1969 by the Holt Reinhardt Winston Company. And we'll pick that up and begin right there after these words from our sponsor. Stay tuned. Lots of material on the plate for today.
If a claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
CC is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your Liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Don't miss 33rd Parallel News Radio with your host, Matt Kazee, Saturdays at 8 p.m. Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So returning once again and picking up right where we left off, Empiricism and Realistic Metaphysics, Chapter 10. Out of this, it's basically a reader, if you will, a college reader. In other words, you go to school and you sign up to get a class, you pay your money, you attend the classes, and then you'll get textbooks of various kinds. But when you're embarking on, let's say, a study of philosophy or psychology or something like that, sociology, oftentimes they point to readers. And this is a reader. These are the enduring questions, the main problems of philosophy, second edition by Melvin Rader. It talks about empiricism. That's important. I mean, if you don't know what empiricism is, you might. And as we, you know, again, I'm not here trying to teach you, you know, what to think, but really more to just encourage you to think or how to think. How to learn how to find this information out for yourself so that you don't get stuck in all of this nonsense. What do we have? What, 75 people show up bearing arms for Patriots Day yesterday? Yahoo! I don't notice anything in the news today. I didn't notice anything in the news yesterday about the great general strike all across America as everybody just didn't buy, didn't comply, and didn't ask why from the 15th to the 19th, but those activities can happen. Didn't see, you know, really any banner headlines or any major YouTube things about, you know, Patriots Day going down with this great public outcry, vox populi, the voice of the people wasn't heard yesterday. And that we can anticipate seeing more and more of. Really, I think we need to embrace, you know, in my opinion, you know, a little bit of political realism here instead of fantasy land, and get serious. So we need to inquire carefully into all the various and sundry things that we're asked to believe in and to accept. And empiricism is kind of along that line. Well, we start in a dictionary and then move from the dictionary to the encyclopedias. Even if you're doing this on the internet, it'll pay you off in spades to follow the little process here. And all the way, not only in the dictionary, but in the encyclopedia, what you're looking for are links. You're looking for ideas. You're looking for individuals. You're looking for books that are mentioned. You're looking for who was the mentor, and is this an originator? Is this the original of something, or is this a follow-on, blah, blah, blah. And then from there you go out into the books, and you go to the authors, and all the people that have researched around it, all of the followers. Especially the followers, especially when you get involved with isms, belief systems. You can say, well, what a profound guy this guy named Jesus was. Yeah, unfortunately, he never even left us a postcard. He never bothered to put a to-do list on the map. We didn't leave so much as a grocery list. If it wasn't for his followers, you'd know nothing of him. If we even know anything of him anyhow. John Locke was influential, no doubt about it. Lived from 1632 to 1704. Now here, this is out of this reader, college-level reader, reared in a liberal Puritan family. Locke received his higher education at Oxford, where he remained after he received his master's degree as a teacher of Greek and Latin. Even as a student, he turned against a narrow scholastic education and leaned toward the new experimental sciences. This is empiricism, experiment and observation, the new experimental sciences. After receiving a small inheritance from his father, he studied medicine and practiced as an assistant to a distinguished Oxford physician. In 1667, he moved to London to become the personal physician, friend, and advisor of the Earl of Shaftesbury, a leading opponent of the Stuart dynasty. Shaftesbury introduced him to the wisest men and the greatest wits in England. And during a prolonged vacation in France, Locke came in contact with the foremost philosophers and scientists of the continent. And there's more here on that. So we speak of Shaftesbury in a college reader, but we don't give anyone really any clue as to who Shaftesbury is, why one would care, and why it might have, or what possible connections it might be between Locke, his philosophy, and our colonies. Here's a little bit out of another book. This is America Past and Present, written by Divine Breen Fredrickson and Williams. This is a college textbook as well. And this is an American history text. Let's go here and pick it up. Copyright 1984, Scott Sforzman and Company. And on page 57, it reads this way, The Barbadian Connection, Anthony Ashley Cooper, later the Earl of Shaftesbury, was the exception. In 1669, he persuaded the remaining proprietors to invest their own capital in the colony. We're talking about the Carolina Grants here. In 1669, he persuaded the remaining proprietors to invest their own capital in the colony. Without such financial support, Ashley recognized the project would surely fail. Once he received sufficient funds, this energetic organizer dispatched 300 English colonists to Port Royal under the command of Joseph West. The fleet put in briefly at Barbados to pick up additional recruits, and in March of 1670, after being punished by Atlantic gales that destroyed one ship, the expedition arrived at its destination. Only 100 people were still alive. The earliest settlers clustered along the Ashley River, named after him now, the Ashley River. Later, the colony's administrative center, Charlestown, it did not become Charleston until 1783, was established at the junction of the Ashley and Cooper Rivers. They named one river after his first name, Ashley, and his middle name, actually, and another river after his last name, Ashley and Cooper Rivers. Other prominent fellow here when we look at the Carolinas and the Carolina Grant. Ashley also wanted to bring order to the new society. Isn't that what we said in the beginning of our study of business law, that order and law are synonymous? Ashley also wanted to bring order to the new society. With assistance from John Locke, the famous English philosopher who lived from 1632 to 1704, all that lines up, Ashley devised the fundamental constitutions of Carolina. Like Penn, and remember from our study of John Locke earlier, it was largely influenced, this fundamental constitutions of Carolina are largely influenced, if not written, by John Locke. Like Penn, William Penn that would be, Ashley had been influenced by the writings of Harrington. The constitutions created a local aristocracy consisting of proprietors and lesser nobles called landgraves and cacique or cacique, terms as inappropriate to the realities of the New World as the idea of creating an hereditary landed elite. Persons who purchased vast tracts of land automatically received a title and the right to sit in the council of nobles. Of course, we have a prohibition against titles of nobility in our founding documents. A council of nobles, a body designed to administer justice, oversee civil affairs, and initiate legislation. A parliament in which smaller landowners had a voice could accept or reject bills drafted by the council. The very poor were excluded from political life altogether. Ashley thought this scheme maintained the, quote, proper, quote, balance of government between aristocracy and democracy, a concept central to Harrington's philosophy, not Locke's. Well, pick it up right there on the other side. Information.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. enginebrain.com. enginebrain.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we're back once again, and we're looking at the Barbadian connections, the beginning of the Carolinas, the Carolina Grant, be North and South Carolina today, just flying south of Virginia, for those of you who are not map, or those of you that are map challenged. Anyway, continuing along here is, again, refreshing the very poor were excluded from political life altogether, according to Ashley's plan. Ashley thought his scheme maintained the proper, quote-unquote, balance of government between aristocracy and democracy, a concept central to Harrington's philosophy. Not surprisingly, the Constitution's had little impact upon the actual structure of government. It reaffirmed religious toleration, but since so few men bought manors, M-A-N-O-R-S, manners, the Council of Nobles remained a paper dream. Okay? So that's an interesting beginning. Let's pick up just a little bit of a thread before that. The Carolina was a product of the restoration of the Stuarts to the English throne. Now we'll find in a moment when we turn to the other book that James II was not somebody that everybody wanted to see on the throne. The Glorious Revolution, 1688, put William the Conqueror on there. Some say William the Bastard, but anyway. And so we'll pick that thread up in a moment. But just so that you understand, the Carolina was a product of the restoration of the Stuarts to the English throne. Court favorites who had followed the Stuarts into exile during the Civil War demanded rewards, tangible rewards, for their loyalty. These would be the Loyalists and the Royalists, the Loyalists, Tories, actually. New York and New Jersey were obvious plums. So too was Carolina. Sir John Colleton, a successful planter recently returned to England from Barbados, organized a group of eight powerful courtiers who styled themselves the true and absolute lords proprietors of Carolina. That's all caps. Capital T, capital A, capital L, capital P, capital C. True and absolute lords proprietors of Carolina. Businessmen like Goldman Sachs. On March the 24th, 1663, the king granted these proprietors a charter to the vast territory between Virginia and Florida, and running west as far as the South Seas. Like so many Englishmen before them, the eight proprietors thought of America in terms of instant wealth. They never intended to put their own funds at risk in order to generate profits. They reasoned that with the proper incentives, a generous land policy, for example, they could attract men and women from established American colonies and thus avoid the great expense of transporting settlers across the Atlantic. The proprietors promised settlers a representative assembly, liberty of conscience, and a liberal head right system. In exchange for these privileges, they demanded only a small annual quit rent. Sometimes it's important to understand these philosophies and the history that runs around them. Are we looking at a system of government here for the Carolinas that was based upon long-held belief systems and deep-felt passions for freedom and liberty? Or are we looking at a prospectus, at a promotional piece, something to aid and abet the sale or the enticement of people to come work and settle in these new in this new chartered land? Let's go back to the text here, Empiricism and Realistic Metaphysics, this out of a philosophy textbook. When he, speaking of John Locke, when he returned to England, the king was suspicious of him because of his connection with Shaftesbury. This is Ashley Cooper here, Lord Ashley Cooper. He remained in exile until, the king was suspicious of him because of his connection with Shaftesbury, and in 1683 Locke fled to Holland. He remained in exile until the revolution of 1688, or the Glorious Revolution, when James II was deposed and William, the Prince of Orange, was elevated to the English throne. That would be William and Mary. Locke championed this bloodless revolution. A bloodless revolution in his two treatises on civil government, this being the only mention of these treatises in this philosophy textbook. Again, Locke championed this bloodless revolution in his two treatises on civil government, a main source of democratic political theory. Unfortunately, the Politics of American Democracy, published in the 80s as well, a university-level political science textbook. Scanning through the index this morning before the broadcast revealed no entries for John Locke. Although the two treatises on civil government here in this philosophy textbook claim that it is the main source of democratic political theory. Imagine why children, young people, myself included, coming out of college, would have never taken the time to look into Locke or his two treatises on civil government. Soon thereafter, he published his essay concerning the human understanding, which he had been writing for many years. Although he continued to be active in political and intellectual circles, his health steadily declined, and John Locke died on October the 28th of 1704. We'll go back to this essay concerning human understanding in a moment. Before we do, let's jump over here again in this history of the America, of America. And this is 97, and I didn't underline it. Where could it possibly be? Religious Reliable, page 97, John Locke. Let's see, I didn't underline it. Well, it's so insignificant. It's so insignificant that I didn't even bother to underline it. But there is a mention, the second and the only other mention in this huge book. I mean, we're talking major pages here. What is this? It's got numbered pages of 1,000 page book. A lot of these 1,000 page books under my belt. Anyway, now this particular section talks about the Enlightenment, the American Enlightenment. European historians often refer to the 18th century as an age of reason. Sound familiar? Thomas Paine, the age of reason, the Enlightenment, empiricism. During this period, a body of new and often radical ideas, you know, philosophical, this is the home of philosophical radicalism. During this period, a body of new, often radical ideas swept through the salons and universities. Remember, we've talked about salons before in the past. When we think about Claude Henri Duverroy Saint-Simon, who heading a battery of French mortars, believed in his heart of hearts to his death that he turned the tide in the war for independence and helped bring forward the victory for Washington's troops at the battle at Yorktown, and he is Henry Saint-Simon was awarded the last of the Order of Cincinnatus, the Revolutionary War medals, I guess you'd say, of honor, given to principal individuals by George Washington. The very last given was to Henry Saint-Simon. Henry Saint-Simon, being French then and the nobility, went back, Claude Henri Duverroy Saint-Simon, went back to France, got involved in speculative land investments, all of the lands that were taken away during the various turmoils going on there, lands taken away from the church and nobility, and brought up to sale. He bought in on that, made a fortune at it, put his money towards a salon. He created a salon, which was, you could think of it as a place, a nice house, a big house, a nice place, a manor, where people would come and pontificate and scratch their noggin and expound on all kinds and manners of new stuff. And again, European historians often refer to the 18th century, that would be the 1770s, little time here after John Locke dying in 1704, so it would be the followers from that. European historians often refer to the 18th century as an age of reason. During this period, a body of new, often radical ideas swept through the salons and universities, altering the way that educated Europeans thought about God, nature, and society. This intellectual revolution, called the Enlightenment, involved the work of Europe's greatest minds, men like Newton and Locke. Here's the mention I was looking for. Men like Newton and Locke, Voltaire and Hume. Well, we'll pick that up on the other side of this. Be right back.
Be prepared for anything. Disasters, drought, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Be ready wherever your adventures take you. Ocean, rainforest, jungle, desert, even your own backyard. Sea Panel can help you make clean water from any source. Salt water, pesticides, arsenic, fluoride, brine, bacteria. With Sea Panel, you can handle whatever Mother Nature throws your way. Just pour contaminated water into your Sea Panel and let sunlight distill up to 2 gallons per day. 100% solar powered. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. If you're near the ocean, Sea Panel can help make your disaster kit ready for anything. please visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com, or call 205-246-6492, cpanel.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Take Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Pulling back the curtain to expose the matrix. Axiom Radio with Rob Chowder. Weeknights 7 to 9 Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So as we find ourselves today at a time where, you know, we're looking at this idea of being able to move forward, moving forward into what I would hope to be a greater and greater measures of freedom and less tyrannical and despotic control over we the people, not just in the United States but around the world, and everybody's talking about this quantum leap in the mind, looking forward to it as if it might happen. I don't know. I think it'll require a considerable amount of priming and pumping at the old great pump handle, but nevertheless, we can look back to the American Enlightenment of the past and some of these various and sundry thinkers that came along that greatly influenced and changed life, not just in Western Europe, but also here in North America, changed life for everyone. Was it a time of revolution and counter-revolution, or that really continues all the way to today? So back to the text here, it says, the writings of such thinkers, again, Europe's greatest mind men like Newton, Locke, Voltaire, and Hume, the writings of such thinkers eventually reached the colonies where they received a mixed reception. On the whole, the American Enlightenment was a rather tame affair compared to its European counterpart. For while the colonists welcomed experimental science, they defended the tenets of traditional Christianity. Put that on your map, and we'll come back to that in a moment. Just to help the audience weave together some of all of this, there's a chronology listed here. I'll share it with you. In 1607, the first English settlers arrived at Jamestown, not in 1492. In 1607, the first English settlers arrived at Jamestown. In 1608, 1609, Scrooby congregation pilgrims left England for Holland. In 1609 to 1611 was a starving time in Virginia and threatens the survival of the colonists. In 1619, Virginia Assembly called the House of Burgesses meets for its first time. In 1620, Pilgrim signed the Mayflower Compact. In 1622, surprise attack by local Indians devastates Virginia. 1624, Dutch investors create permanent settlements along the Hudson River. James I, that would be the King James Bible, James I of England, 7th of Scotland, I believe, King of England, discovers the Virginia Company, or excuse me, dissolves the Virginia Company. I'll say it again. 1624, Dutch investors create a permanent settlement along the Hudson River, and James I, King of England, dissolves the Virginia Company. In 1625, Charles I ascends the English throne. In 1630, John Winthrop transfers Massachusetts Bay Charter to New England. 1634, a colony of Maryland is founded. 1636, Harvard College is established. Been around a while. 1638, Anne Hutchinson, we'll all remember Anne Hutchinson, is exiled to Rhode Island. Theophilus Eaton and John Davenport lead settlers to New Haven Colony. The life of Anne Hutchinson is rather interesting to read. 1639, Connecticut towns accept the Fundamental Order. 1649, Charles I is executed during the English Civil War. 1660, Stuarts are restored to the English throne. This is where we mentioned here previously, in 1660. Rhode Island, in 1663, obtains its royal charter. Proprietors receive charter for the Carolina, which we mentioned. 1664, English force conquers New Netherland. In 1677, New Hampshire becomes a royal colony. And in 1681, William Penn granted a patent for his, quote-unquote, holy experiment, which becomes Pennsylvania, of course. So jumping back here, a little bit backwards, Enlightenment thinkers, again in the colonies here and in Europe, Enlightenment thinkers shared basic assumptions. Philosophers of the Enlightenment replaced the concept of original sin with a much more optimistic view of human nature. A benevolent God, having set the universe in motion, gave human beings the power of reason, the age of reason, Thomas Paine. A benevolent God, having set the universe in motion, gave human beings the power of reason to enable them to comprehend the orderly workings of his creation. Hence this desire to discover the natural law as it applies to man. Everything, even human society, operated according to these mechanical rules. The responsibility of right-thinking men and women, therefore, was to make certain that institutions such as church and state conform to self-evident natural laws. This is the beginning of the natural law period. It was possible, or so some of the philosophers claimed, to achieve perfection in this world. This is this idea of rising to perfection, the little g God-man, a dream that exists yet today. In fact, human suffering had come about only because people had lost touch with the fundamental insights of reason. Some might claim today that if we could just have sustainable development, that we would be able to end all human suffering also. The Zeitgeist theory. For many Americans, the appeal of the Enlightenment was its focus on a search for useful knowledge, ideas, and inventions that would improve the quality of human life. What mattered was practical experimentation. That's this empiricism again. A speech delivered in 1767 before the members of the American Society in Philadelphia reflected the new utilitarian spirit. Utilitarian spirit. Now, this is a little ahead of its time, but it speaks that we're going to see John Stuart Mill on the scene soon in this. Knowledge is, here's the quote, this new utilitarian spirit, quote, knowledge is of little use when confined to mere speculation, the colonists explain. But when speculative truths are reduced to practice, then theories grounded upon experiments and the arts of living made more easy and comfortable, knowledge then becomes really useful. And as I like to say on this broadcast, knowledge is indeed, in fact, power. But it's only really powerful when you use it. To say a thing is not enough. You have to put what you know into action. And so that's going right back to 1767, this particular quotation again, knowledge is of little use when confined to mere speculation. We can sit around from now until the cows come in, if they ever do come home, and speculate as to who, what, when, where, and why on 9/11 and all of the other various and sundry depredations against our freedom that have been visited upon us, I believe, by our own government and people in positions of power. We can speculate about it forever. But when speculative truths are reduced to practice, when theories grounded upon experiments and the arts of living made more easy and comfortable, knowledge then becomes really useful. We're going to need to recover or restore our constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government if we ever hope to have the political will in Congress assembled to actually go after Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, the London Bullion Market Association, all those that are associated with it, and all those that visited Waco and Ruby Ridge, 9/11, all that on us. We're not going to be able to be successful in that. So these are ideas then that lead us back to the text, give you a little bit more. Out of the Encyclopedia Americana again in a review, the same in regards to John Locke, English philosopher again. This is a lot more interesting article that was prepared and presented in this philosophy text. This particular article, written in 1951, some 20 years before this philosophy text was published, would instill, it certainly instills in mind, but instills in the mind, a far better understanding of who is this man, John Locke, that we're about to study. And I'll just read a little bit of it again. He was a son of an attorney who became a captain in the Parliamentary Army. Locke was educated at Westminster School and at Christ Church, Oxford, where he was graduated and took his bachelor degree in 1656. 2 years later, he took his degree of Master's of Arts and entered upon the study of medicine. First, he was a student of medicine. Well, we're at the top of the hour. We'll be back in a couple of moments. Begin hour number two. Do stay with us. Much more to come. Just kind of warming up.
Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at christostrading.com.
Claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies agency's violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, April the 20th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, beginning our second hour of today's two-hour broadcast. In the first hour, we forego the news and just we went through the market report, but then we went right to the books, trying to find out a little bit more about who is John Locke. What kind of a time period did he live in? What were his peers, what were his contemporaries up to at that time? And we find ourselves not only in the origin and the colonies in his lifetime, Carolinas, that whole time period from the time that he was born till the time that he died. He was born in 1632, and we can see that we're just getting on the map on the eastern seaboard here, the English settlements just coming on. And then when he dies in 1704, again, this is before, 70 years before the founding of our Union, and certainly the Continental Congresses and all of that had been meeting for some time. The colonies are all coming along. But all of Europe was aflame in this new concept, this idea of enlightenment, an age of reason. Thomas Paine wrote of that and others. So back in, and we're going to take a little bit more of a look. This now, out of the, again, in review, we've covered, read this before, but this is out of the Encyclopedia Americana. We visited with this on the very first day in our talk about John Locke, but it continues here. Again, Locke was educated at Westminster School and at Christ Church in Oxford, and that's important, Christ Church, Oxford, that's a very important place, by the way. It's just a very important place. Do look into that yourselves. But where he was graduated, again, took his bachelor's degree in 1656. So we're not talking about something that happened yesterday. 2 years later, he took the degree of Master's of Arts and entered upon the study of medicine. He lectured at Oxford from 1660 to 1664 on Greek rhetoric and philosophy, and during this period became interested in experimental physics, hence this idea of empiricism, what we can learn by experience. Sometimes you can understand someone's philosophy by figuring out a little bit about their background before they came into establishing their philosophies. Continuing, he says here, the author's right, interested in experimental physics, especially chemistry and meteorology, and in metaphysics, showed a preference for studying Descartes, although his own philosophy powerfully antagonizes that of the French master. Metaphysics. And as Auguste Comte, in his very researched, carefully put together philosophy of his philosophy of positive philosophy, he establishes this law of three stages, where man begins first in development, being ruled by priests, living in a theological world view, and he advances from there, and in Comte's mind it is an advance, into metaphysics, which here embraces the mindset of John Locke, and then the final stage of man moves into the positive stage of human development. And of course, in the positive stage of human development, then we can embrace and understand Auguste Comte's philosophy of positive politics. And then, of course, he comes out finally with his positive religion and really puts it on the map. Anywho, let's go back. Theology and politics, including diplomacy, also engaged his attention. So you see, we're not studying somebody here that is a narrow-minded bigot, if you will. He really expanded his horizons mentally, and then he was putting it into practice. Be right back. Stay with us.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from EngineBrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit EngineBrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit EngineBrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we've returned once again on our Tuesday, April the 20th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. And we come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. You're always welcome to call in. The call-in number is 866-841-1065. Please don't wait till the last moment when I'm wrapping things up. Call in if you'd like to, if there's something on your mind that you want to get out in regards to things that we're discussing. Certainly the history of law, anything along the lines of the material I've got in front of me would be great. Questions about what we're discussing. But again, back to John Locke, theology and politics, including diplomacy, also engaged his attention. And so then we can understand a little better then why he would come to write these two treatises on civil government. Theology and politics. The first treatise, if we recall, was a refutation of the writings of a Sir Robert Filmer, this idea of the divine right of kings to rule. And the second one was the true end of civil government. It goes through a considerable study on that. And we've read from it, excerpts from it, from both. But continuing here, it says then, as secretary to Sir, well, maybe I should stop right there. How many times, you know, you hear about the Christian conservatives, you know, and then the socialist liberals, whatever, bunch of atheists, right? Well, what is conservative and what is liberal? When someone today says that they're conservative, what is it exactly that they desire to conserve? What are they going to preserve? What are they going to bottle up, can up, jar up, or whatever? Are they conserving the idea of westward expansion, unlimited dominion, the United States is the ruler of the planet? Are we conserving the dominance of the military-industrial complex? What are they conserving? What are they conservative about? What is it exactly that they wanted to conserve? And when you're liberal, what do we mean when we say liberal? Are we going back to Venice then? We're starting forward at this time period where instead of being a household servant, a sculptor, an artist, a musician, becomes a master in his own right and a free man? What are we talking about? It's important to understand. I don't think most of the people that call themselves conservative today understand what it is they want to conserve. Maybe they want to conserve what they had in their youth. For me, that would be sex, drugs, and rock and roll. If I want to be conservative, I want to have the 60s all over again. Let's continue here. As Secretary to Sir Walter Vane, British envoy, he went in 1665, again, John Locke, to Cleves, Prussia, returning to Oxford in the following year, during which time he made the acquaintance of Lord Ashley. And this be Lord Ashley Cooper here, the founder, I guess, of the Carolinas. Ashley River and Cooper River and all that, Charlestown, all that. So it wasn't until later in his life here, he was 33 years old. Well, that's typical, that's fitting. Afterwards, the to Holland, very tight relationship here. Locke continued to reside abroad until 1689, when after the revolution had been accomplished, he returned to England to become the Commissioner of Appeals, and it continues on. In 1696, Locke was made commissioner. I'm just skipped a bunch. But in 1696, Locke was made a Commissioner of Trade and Plantations. That'd be Carolinas there. But in a few years became incapacitated and retired, and from 1700 until his death, he lived with his friend Sir F. Masham at Oates, meanwhile being drawn into the violent controversies over the essay which arose among different sects and schools. He had sturdily maintained his ground in a style of epistolary polemics with which still possesses an academic interest. Well, it's easy to write, hard to speak. And then it finally here, and it's not finally by any means, but then it continues and it says, as a philosopher, Locke's place is usually fixed at the head of the English sensational school, sensationalism. And yet here in our philosophy book, there's no mention of sensationalism. It's under a title of empiricism and realistic metaphysics. One would think that the authors of the philosophy textbook would at least make mention of sensationalism, because as a philosopher, Locke's place is usually fixed at the head of the English sensational school. Continuing here, although this classification by no means does justice to his many-sidedness as a thinker, and the term sensationalism, with its ordinary connotations, is a wholly inadequate for a correct representation either of his speculative inquiries or of those still less definable meditations which led him profoundly to search the realms of ethics and of spiritual laws in an endeavor to assign the relations and functions of these in the world of practical politics and that of instituted religion. So you can see he was rather politically incorrect in his day, a true philosophical radical willing to speak on both politics and religion. But he wrote a rather interesting piece here. It's titled An Essay Concerning on Human Understanding. And this, again, out of Melvin Rader's Reader, right out of college textbook here, philosophy textbook, philosophy 101, I suppose. Introduction. He begins this way. And again, all of the paragraphs in this essay are numbered. Seems to be his forte. It seems to be something he does. It begins this way, an inquiry into the understanding, pleasant and useful. An inquiry into the understanding, pleasant and useful. Of course, we can also wrap our minds around who is Francis Hutcheson and his inquiries, from which we do get the idea of the happiness principle. Francis Hutcheson writing an inquiry into the original of our ideas of beauty and virtue. You see how similar this is. Even the titles of their works follow the same line, an inquiry into the original of our ideas of beauty and virtue. In this work, we find all about unalienable rights, moral senses, parties and sex and fashions, affections, amiable versus odious, pursuits, the pursuit of happiness, takes new looks at God, and so on and so forth. Very controversial material here. But at the same time, this finds its way into the very words mentioned in our Declaration of Independence. But here, let's see if I can find this. Where is it? Here it is. Locke. John Locke. Right here. We talk about senses. We're going to come into that in a moment. But as the final causes of this internal sense, this is the writings of Francis Hutcheson, as to the final causes of the internal sense, we need not inquire whether to an almighty and all-knowing being there be any real excellence in regular forms, in acting by general laws, in knowing by theorems. We seem scarce capable of answering such questions anyway, nor need we inquire, quote, whether other animals may not discern uniformity and regularity in objects which escape our observation and may not perhaps have their senses so constituted as to perceive beauty. We're going to see in this much of Locke as well, so we will return right after these words from our sponsors.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offenses against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Be prepared for anything. Disasters, drought, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Be ready wherever your adventures take you. Ocean, rainforest, jungle, desert, even your own backyard. Seed Panel can help you make clean water from any source. Salt water, pesticides, arsenic, fluoride, brine, bacteria. With Seed Panel, you can handle whatever Mother Nature throws your way. Just pour contaminated water into your Seed Panel and let sunlight distill up to 2 gallons per day. 100% solar powered. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. If you're near the ocean, Seed Panel can help make your disaster kit ready for anything. Please visit cpanel.com, spelled seapanel.com, or call 205-246-6492, cpanel.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So we begin then to look back into this time period known as the Enlightenment, and we start to find some of these philosophical radicals, basically, people that were completely unique in their own time, coming up with new ideas, that we should find uniform or continuing threads, their influence felt one to the other, Remember this time of salons and whatnot. Benjamin Franklin's life, you know, spanning almost all of the 18th century, if you will, born shortly after, 2 years after the death of John Locke. But we were talking just a little bit briefly about who is Francis Hutcheson in his book, An Inquiry into the Original of Our Ideas of Beauty and Virtue, wherein you'll find the happiness principle stated, perhaps for the very first time. And just a little bit here out of Francis Hutcheson, again, as to the final causes of this internal sense, sense being extremely important, senses and ideas, we'll find that in the writings of John Locke. We shall confine ourselves to a subject where we have some certain foundation to go upon. In other words, we need to find fundamental basic principles in our inquiries, and we'll find out more about that from Locke. If we can find any reasons worthy of the great author of nature, here, capital A, capital N, author of nature, the laws of nature and of nature's God, all of this principle to our founding documents, for making such a connection between regular objects and the pleasure which accompanies our perceptions of them, or what reasons might possibly influence him to create the capital W world, as it at present is, as far as we can observe, everywhere full of regularity and uniformity, the laws of nature and of nature's God. Let it be here observed, Hutcheson continues, that as far as we know concerning any of the great bodies of the universe, now listen, cosmogony coming in here, let it be here observed that as far as we know concerning any of the great bodies of the universe, we see forms and motions really beautiful to our senses. And if we were placed in any planet, notice there now, this is, if we were placed in any planet, if humans, earthlings, transported to any planet, we're getting heavy here. If we were placed in any planet, the apparent courses would still be regular and uniform, and consequently beautiful to our sense. Now this gives us no small ground to imagine that if the senses of their inhabitants, we're talking about life on other planets now, are in the same manner adapted to their habitations and the objects occurring to their view as ours are here, their senses must be upon the same general foundation with ours. So here Hutcheson is proposing that life on other planets would be similar, and that senses, if those sentient beings had senses, that they would function much the same as ours. The things that please us here, likely to please them there. Now here's a little bit about John Locke in the writings of Francis Hutcheson. And listen carefully. It will deserve our consideration on this subject how, in like cases, we form very different judgments concerning the internal and external senses. Once again, sensationalism. Nothing is more ordinary among those who after Locke, who after Mr. Locke, have shaken off the groundless opinions about innate ideas. In other words, there seems to be a body of people here at this time who have shaken off what they believe to be senseless or innate, groundless opinions about innate ideas. We're going to find immediately from John Locke his idea on ideas. Apparently, they're throwing away some of Locke's writings here. Again, I'll say it again. One, nothing is more ordinary among those who, after Mr. Locke, have shaken off the groundless opinions about innate ideas than to allege, quote, that all our relish for beauty and order is either from prospect of advantage, custom, or education. The prospect of advantage, custom, or education, for no other reason but the variety of fancies in the world, and from this they conclude, quote, that our fancies do not arise from any natural power of perception or sense, and yet allow our external senses to be natural, and that the pleasures or pains of their sensations, however they may be increased or diminished by custom or education, and counterbalanced by interest, yet are really antecedent to custom, habit, education, or prospect of interest. Now it is certain that there is at least a great variety of fancies about their objects as the objects of beauty. Now, in finding the meaning of the happiness principle, you've got to go deep into these ideas of beauty and virtue. What is happiness anyway? What is the pursuit of happiness anyway? Back to John Locke. An inquiry into the understanding, pleasant and useful. Again, pleasant and useful. Since it is the understanding that sets man above the rest of sensible beings, sensationalism, and gives him all the advantage and dominion which he has over them, it's his understanding, according to Locke, that gives him the advantage and the dominion which he has over them. Go back and look at the Bible. Created all things, gave man dominion over them. It is certainly a subject, even for its nobleness, worth our labor to inquire into. I'll drop down a bit. Design. This, therefore, being my purpose to inquire into the original certainty and extent of human knowledge, together with the grounds and degrees of belief, opinion, and assent. We're going into an essay here concerning human understanding. What do you know? Who do you know? How do you know? How can man know anything? He says, they shall not at present meddle with the physical consideration of the mind, largely because they didn't understand that the mind at this time. Didn't really even understand how the brain worked or what the brain really was all about. Keep it in context, writing somewhere between 1632 and 1704. I shall not at present meddle with the physical consideration of the mind or trouble myself to examine wherein in its essence consists or by what motions of our spirits or alterations of our bodies we come to have any sensation by our organs or any idea in our understandings and whether those ideas do in their formation any or all of them depend on matter or not. These are speculations which, however curious and entertaining, I shall decline. As laying out of my way in the design I am now upon, it shall suffice to my present purpose to consider the discerning faculties of a man, maybe the five senses, as we could say. And remember, he was studied as a physician. He studied medicine, involved in lots of empirical stuff. Either there is no such thing as truth at all, or that mankind hath no sufficient means to attain a certain knowledge of it. That's the end of a lengthy sentence. Very interesting. That either there is no such thing as truth at all, or that mankind has no sufficient means to attain a certain knowledge of it. Is there anything known as truth? Can you seek it? And if you seek it long enough, will you recognize it when you find it? How would you know you found truth? Continuing along here. Well, we'll have to pick it up right there on the other side. We're going to go into what is idea, what is an idea, what it stands for, and just build just a little bit more out of the mind of John Locke.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Take Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at christostrading.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So if you find some of this material a little bit heady, maybe it's running over the top of your head and leaving you lost in the turmoil behind the boat, you remember the words of William Jefferson Clinton after the Waco massacre, where he indignantly says, "You call yourself patriots, how dare you? How dare you? You think you're prepared to reorganize this country in the 21st century and move forward? 75 people show up with handguns and rifles. A little bit more from the 1600s out of the mind of John Locke. I suppose it may be of use to prevail with the busy mind of man to be more cautious in meddling with things exceeding its comprehension. To stop when it is at the utmost extent of its tether, and to sit down in a quiet ignorance of those things which upon examination are found to be beyond the reach of our capacities. This information flying over the top of your head? This is the caliber of mind that wrote this civil treatise on the true end of civil government. This is the caliber of mind of the men that created this country. Are we of that caliber today? Or were they 50 caliber BMGs and we're like 22s, shorts? Short on many things, mental. If we can find out, Locke continues, how far the understanding can extend its view, how far it has faculties to attain certainty, and in what cases it can only judge and guess, we may learn to content ourselves with what is attainable by us in this state. Our own state of ignorance, if you will. Our own paucity of capacity. Thus, men extending their inquiries beyond their capacities and letting their thoughts wander into those depths where they can find no sure footing, it is no wonder that they raise questions and multiply disputes which, never coming to any clear resolution, are proper only to continue and increase their doubts and to confirm them at last in perfect skepticism. Which I just summarize and ball all together and say the paralysis of analysis. Again, John Locke, 1600s. Thus men, extending their inquiries beyond their capacities and letting their thoughts wander into those depths where they can find no sure footing, it is no wonder that they raise questions and multiply disputes, which, never coming to any clear resolution, are proper only to continue and increase their doubts and to confirm them at last in pure skepticism. The enlightened and dark parts of things, between what is and what is not comprehensible by us. The enlightened, the dark ideas of things, the enlightenment. To John Locke, paragraph 8 in this treatise, what idea stands for all those that read this? Thus much I thought necessary to say concerning the occasion of this inquiry into human understanding. But before I proceed on to what I have thought on this subject, I must here in the entrance beg pardon of my reader for the frequent use of the word, quote-unquote, idea, which he will find in the following treatise, it being that term which I think serves best to stand for whatsoever is the object of understanding when a man thinks. The idea. And as Andrew J. Galambo said, defining property, property is a man's life and all non-procreative derivatives of his life. First, there's a man. It is out of your ideas that all of your property is created. Not only are you, your body, physical, your chief and your highest property, being that chalice or that vessel that carries about the mind, but it is also from that place that all of your ideas flow, all of your actions flow. And again, John Locke, the idea, the word idea, which you'll find in the following treatise, it being that term which I think serves best to stand for whatsoever is the object of understanding when a man thinks. All this is predicated on the ability or the desire to think, to use the gray matter between your ears. This, from the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, a lengthy article which we'll only be able to touch on, that gives us some beginning concept of just what was and what is enlightenment. Enlightenment. And this set of encyclopedias, so valued by me, was published a long time ago by Macmillan Publishing. This series sent to me by one of our dear listeners, copyright 1931. Thank you, Mr. Moss. But enlightenment, here defined in this encyclopedia, known partly as the textbook or the coursework for the Hochschule für Politik. Many of the contributors here thought of as the Führer's professors, just to put it on the map. Enlightenment is the liberation of man from his self-caused state of minority. Enlightenment is the liberation of man from his self-caused state of minority. Minority is the incapacity of using one's understanding without the direction of another. This state of minority is self-caused when its source lies not in a lack of understanding, but in a lack of determination and courage to use it without the assistance of another. Dare to use your own understanding is the motto of enlightenment. Dare to use your own understanding. Become vocal local. Just say no. Become vocal local. This famous passage from Kant's, and I won't give the name, it's in German. That would be Immanuel Kant, published in 1784, characterizes most clearly the decisive intellectual tendency as well as the historical character and mission of the philosophy of enlightenment. To the view of the world which derived its strength from a belief in divine revelation and which was mainly supported by the powers of authority and tradition, enlightenment opposed another which rested on reason and the powers of the understanding. And hence, John Locke, his first treatise in this book, the refutation of Sir Robert Filmer's belief and writings on the divine right of kings. And harkens back to Thomas Paine. Such as we don't oppose monarchies in other countries or nations, in America, let the Constitution be a king. We'll put a crown on it, put it on a pillow, and put a crown on it, you know, and let it be the king. Absolutely philosophically radical concept for its time. To the view of the world which derived its strength from a belief in divine revelation and which was mainly supported by the powers of authority and tradition, again, enlightenment opposed another which rested on reason, the age of reason, and the powers of the understanding. The basic idea, here's an idea, John Locke, idea, what a man thinks, underlining all the tendencies of the Enlightenment was the conviction that human understanding is capable by its own power and without any recourse to supernatural assistance of comprehending the system of the world. And hence plans for government, constitutions being written, revolutions and counter-revolutions, the Glorious Revolution and others. Of comprehending the system of the world, and that this new way of understanding the world will lead to a new way of mastering it. One might say a new world order. Enlightenment sought to gain universal recognition for this principle in the natural and intellectual sciences, in physics and ethics, in the philosophies of religion, history, law, and politics. The Enlightenment. What a time period. The encyclopedists and all the others. Historically speaking, one understands by Enlightenment primarily the development undergone by this principle during the 17th and the 18th centuries in England, France, and Germany. But although the main ideas of Enlightenment reached their complete development and their final victory in the intellectual movement of these two centuries, their roots lie deeper in the past. Oh yeah. All the way back to Babylon and Sumer and before.
claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Mike Chambers for my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
My soul. Come explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the rebel path. Sundays.
Back again to Melvin Raiders, the Endurton Questions, the Main Problems of Philosophy, second edition here at the in the comments section at the close of this article by John Locke, written by John Locke. Mr. Raider writes this: although modern epistemologists have been greatly influenced by Descartes, he was not so nearly so epistemological in his orientation as Locke. In his Rules for the Direction of the Mind, Descartes spoke of the great importance of, quote, determining the nature of human knowledge and how far it extends, close quote. But he referred to it as, quote, a question one must face in one's life, close quote. The question, which is thus recommended to each man for consideration once in his life, became for Locke the subject of lifelong study. One only need to look at the enormous list of writings by John Locke to recognize the truth in that statement. He made it the subject of a lifelong study. No one before him, not even Descartes, realized so clearly of the importance of this inquiry and pursued it with so much persistence. The nature of Locke's contribution to epistemology has often been inaccurately described. He spoke of the mind as a blank piece of paper that experience writes on. Keep that in mind. We'll come right back to it. This is out of John Locke's writing, so that you understand where that comes from. All ideas come from sensation or reflection. Let us then suppose the mind to be, as we say, white paper, void of all characters, without any ideas. How comes it to be furnished? Whence comes it by that vast door which the busy and boundless fancy of man has painted on it with an almost endless variety? Whence has it all the materials of reason and knowledge? To this I answer in one word, from experience. In that all our knowledge is founded, and from that is ultimately derives itself. Our observation employed either about external sensible objects or about the internal operations of our minds, perceived and reflected on by ourselves, is that which supplies our understanding with all the materials of thinking. These two are the fountains of knowledge, from whence all the ideas we have or can naturally have thus do spring. And so continuing, from Mr. Rader's comment here, the nature of Locke's contribution to epistemology has often been inaccurately described. He spoke of the mind as a blank piece of paper that experience writes on. This metaphor is misleading to the extent that it suggests that the mind is merely a passive entity. Locke denied that there were innate ideas, but never that there were innate powers. The mind, he declares, has inherent faculties, which it brings into the world with it, and knowledge is to be won only through the active employment of these faculties. Which makes us ask, hopefully, what are those innate powers that we bring into the world with us? From whence do they arise? Continuing, the mind, he declares again, well, by selective acts of attention, the mind acquires an original stock of sensory and introspective data. So we come with an operating system, let us say, but it is only through the use of our senses that we began to create files in our registries and then fill the files up with material. Like your inbox and your email system or all of the various files in your word processor, etc. By selective acts of attention, the mind acquires an original stock of sensory and introspective data. You see how much environment plays in all of this. Where one might grow up, whose parents, the womb, the father, the room, the house, the land, the quote-unquote community, those around you, the family, extended, the work you pursue, the food you eat, the water you drink, the air you breathe, and all throughout your whole life. Like a computer punch card, you're given a nice clean punch card at birth, and all of your life somebody else is punching your card for, and they give it back to you when you reach your maturity, and you're supposed to go out with this tattered rag and make something of it. By selective acts of attention, the mind acquires an original stock of sensory and introspective data. It then compounds, abstracts, and relates, and in so doing creates new complex ideas. Although Locke avoided the cruder sort of sensationism, he was still an empiricist in contending that all complex ideas are generated out of the original stuff of experience, whether sensory or introspective. His great achievement was the development of an empirical metaphysics upon this basis, pursuing the historical plane method of tracing our ideas back to their origins. And that is much what I attempt to do on this broadcast, trying to find those origins, directing our attention back, understanding the past as we try and make sense out of the future, that we might be prepared to look forward, make sense out of the present so that we might look forward into the future. the minds that existed at this particular time, although perhaps sharpened because they hadn't been dulled by an excess of sensory bombardment, are much the same minds that we have today. Albeit they have much better water to drink and much better food to eat. Some, not all. Some lived in poverty. Some were afflicted their entire lives with ill health and still wrote gloriously. But if we're going to shape the 21st century to be anything other than this miserable global feudalism that some would have us live under, going back and revisiting once again with the enclosures and so on and so forth, which we'll talk about in another broadcast, maybe even tomorrow, that whole period of enclosures being fundamental, instrumental to an understanding of just what did Karl Marx have in mind when he wrote Das Kapital. But if we're going to be moving forward into greater and greater freedom and less tyrannical and despotic control, perhaps we would be well advised and better prepared to look back. And instead of rather just pulling out a Thomas Jefferson quote here and a Benjamin Franklin quote there and using them kind of like wild cards, inserting them in whatever sentence, you know, whatever discussion we need for airtime or in a public meeting, perhaps we could benefit greatly by going back and studying and rethinking the think, revisiting the think of the thinkers that came before us, three kinds of people. As I love to say, thinkers spend all of their time thinking, thinking, and thinking. They don't get much accomplished. The paralysis of analysis oftentimes creeps in, but they do think. And then there are the doers, those that just do and 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 do endlessly. That third kind, the Goldman Sachs of the world, the loafer. The loafer rises to the top. If we think about our great society as a melting pot, the dross by heat is separated from the base metal and floats to the top. It's that dross that seem to be the loafers, these pirates that live in our midst at Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase, the London Bullion Market Association, and others, the bankers perhaps. They do serve a purpose, but they seem to do it at everybody else's peril and hurt. But they're the dross, the politicians. The dross, fit only to be scooped off and thrown away. We have a whole pot full of base metal here, a whole pot full of hot gold. Let's be that noble metal in this 21st century. Thanks for listening. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.